I want to direct your attention to the story that's in 2 Kings chapter 7. It was twilight. The sun was just about to drop out of sight. The heat of the day was just about to be replaced with the cooler air of the night. And the long, dark shadows that were cast by the city walls were about to disappear as the sun sunk below the horizon. If you listen to the sounds that came from within the walls, from within the city, you heard many, many cries. They were hungry children begging their moms and their dads for something to eat. But there was nothing to give them. The city, Samaria, was under siege. The Syrians had surrounded the city and cut off all supplies, and the last of the food was eaten days ago. And there was no hope or no relief in sight. I mean, everybody in the city expected to die because they were out of food and they were starving to death. There were four lepers that sat on the ground outside the city, outside the walls. They lived outside the city because of their disease. That was the law. If you were a leper, you had to be separated from your family. You had to be separated from society, and so you lived outside the walls. And their food, which came from inside the city, was also exhausted. And because of their disease, they were weaker than most, and sooner rather than later, they would die because of starvation. One of them asked the question, one of these four lepers asked the question, why set we here until we die? If we could go into the city, there's no food in there, and we would starve to death with everybody else. If we stay here, because our food comes from the city and there's no food there, we're going to die because we have no food. We could go to the Syrians. We could go to that army that surrounds the city. They could kill us, but we're going to die anyway. But maybe there's a chance. Maybe there's only one in 100 chance that they might give us to food. It might give us some food that might save our lives. That's one out of 100 chance that we don't have if we sit here, that we don't have if we go into the city. Let's take that chance and go to the Syrians and see if they'll feed us something. So they decide to go. They make that choice. They make that decision. They drag themselves away from the city. In their weakened condition, it takes them a while to get to the camp of the Syrians. And when they finally reach the outskirts of the camp, everything is still and quiet. They expected to hear some muted conversations from the soldiers that were in their tents. They expected to see a sentry walking guard and hear his footsteps as he surrounded the camp. But there was no muted conversations. There was no sound of a footstep. They looked at one another and said, what does this mean? What's happening? They made their way into the camp and went into the first tent, and there was nobody there. They left that tent and went to another one. There was nobody there. They looked across the camp, and not one soldier, not one human soul did they see in any part of the camp. Everybody was gone. If you go earlier in the chapter, you'll read that God had made the Syrians hear the noise of chariots and the noise of horses and the noise of a great host. And the Syrians said, the Samaritans have hired the Hittites and the Egyptians, and we got to get out of here because we're going to be killed. And because God made them hear that noise, all the Syrian army, the Bible says, they arose up and fled. They skedaddled. They ran. And the Bible says they left everything behind. Food, plenty of it. All that the lepers wanted to eat and more. And like somebody that's starving to death, like a hungry wolf or a hungry dog, the lepers went into a tent and just gorged themselves on the food that was there. While they were eating, they didn't think about anything or anyone else. They just enjoyed the bounty of the feast that was laid out before them. Then they began to look around. They said, these soldiers have left their gold and silver as well. We can profit from this. And so the Bible says they gathered up the gold and silver from one tent, and they went and hid it, and they went into another tent and gathered up the gold and silver from there and went and hid it. And as they were doing it, finally their conscience spoke to them, and they thought about the thousands of people, the men and the women and the boys and the girls that were inside the city, just less than a mile away, hundreds of yards away, that were starving to death, that were dying for lack of food, when an abundant supply of food was available to every single person that lived in the city. Then they said, as we read in verse 9, one to another, "We do not well. This day is a day of good tidings, and we hold our peace. If we tarry till the morning light, some mischief will come upon us. Now, therefore, come that we may go and tell the king's household." And if you go and read the rest of the story, they go and tell the king. They go to the gate and they send out horsemen to check it out, and they find out that, yeah, the Syrians have fled, and they've left everything behind. And so they open the gate, and the city pours out into that Syrian camp, gets all the food to keep them alive, all the food that they need. This morning I preach a sermon entitled, "Go and Tell." Go and Tell. It's a message that Christ gave to his disciples and to his church when he said in Mark chapter 16 verse 15, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." It's his command to us as Christians. It's his commission to us as Christians. It's his will for us as Christians to go and tell. And this morning I just want to give you three simple reasons why we should, using this story as our basis, making some comparisons, why we should go and tell. Number one, we ought to go and tell because of what we have. The lepers in this story have everything they wanted when it came to food. I mean, again, they were starving to death. And when they went into this camp and they saw all the food that was laid out there, it would be like going to all the buffets that you can think about. I mean, just think about all the buffets that you know about, that you've enjoyed. The Chinese and the Japanese and the American and the Polish, all I don't know of a Polish buffet, I just made that up. Anyhow, but all the buffets that you know, and put them all together and then multiply them by 100, and that's what they had. Every kind of meat, every kind of vegetable, every kind of potato, every kind of bread, every kind of soup, every kind of salad, every kind of dessert. It'd be like going home and your mom or grandma combined Thanksgiving dinner and Christmas dinner and Easter all together and had it all at the same time. That's what the lepers had. They had everything that they could want. I mean, they had come dying, and now they were full of life. They had come starving, and now they were stuffed. They came with very little hope, but now they were full of hope for the future. They came sad and depressed, but now they were glad and happy. And they said, "We do not well. This day is a day of glad tidings, and we hold our peace." I want you to look at what we have in Christ Jesus compared to them. Their salvation was physical and temporary. Our salvation is spiritual and eternal. They were saved from starvation. We have been saved from sin. And we have been saved from the penalty of sin. Let me remind you this morning that we are all sinners. There's none righteous, no, not one. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And we're all at one time stood under the penalty of that sin. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. And at one time in our life, we were a sinner under the condemnation and penalty of sin. But God loved us. Listen to me. God loved us. And he loved us so much that he sent his only son, Jesus Christ, to go to a cross, to die in our place, to pay the debt that we owe, to pay the price of our sin. And he didn't wait till we got better. He didn't wait till we turned over a new leaf. He did that while we were yet sinners. While there was nothing about us that deserved that love, God sent his son to die in our place. And he did die in our place. And he paid for every one of my sins. Every one of them. And he paid for every one of your sins. And because of that death on, because of Christ's death on Calvary, because the price that Jesus paid on Calvary, God can offer to every single one of us the gift of life, the gift of eternal life. All we have to do is take it. Most of us this morning here, we already have. We've taken that gift of life. We've traded death for life. We've traded hopelessness for hope. We've traded hell for heaven. We've traded darkness for light. We've traded the bottomless pit for a street of gold. We've traded weeping and gnashing of teeth for a place where every tear will be dried away. We've traded sadness for joy unspeakable and full of glory. Look, we have something worth sharing. We have something that's more worthwhile than even all the food that was made available to a starving city. Are we going to be selfish and keep it to ourselves? Listen, it's not something that if we share with others, there'll be less for us. If we share it with others, there'll still be plenty. And if we share it for others, we can enjoy what we have even more. Hey, I was thinking about a way to illustrate this, and I thought about this. It would be like taking Brother Paul and Brother Clyde and Brother Leonard, the PCL trio. It would be like taking the three of them guys to a smorgasbord. You may have not ever visited a smorgasbord with these three guys, but I have. And I'll tell you from experience, they, like their preacher, love to eat. And you see, when you go to a smorgasbord with those guys, not only do you enjoy eating the food yourself, you enjoy looking over at them and seeing them put it away. I mean, I've seen, what are those legs that you guys like to, crab? I've seen the bones of crab legs stacked this high. I've seen chicken bones stacked this high. I could go on, but you get the picture. Look, that's what it's like when we share what we have in Jesus Christ. I can enjoy it because I'm a sinner that's been saved. I have eternal life. I have heaven as my home. Compared to where I was going, heaven is a wonderful place. I get to be with Jesus. But when I share it with others and somebody else can get saved, it doesn't take away from what I have. It increases the joy that I have because I see somebody else has shared in that same thing. And so we need to go and tell because of what we have. We have a gift that's worth sharing. We need to go and tell, number two, because of what they need. Because of what they need. In our story, the people in the city were dying. They were starving. They hadn't eaten for days. Their stomachs have already shrunk. Their body has started feasting on itself. They were dads and moms. Teenagers, little boys and little girls, little babies. They were starving. They needed something to eat. They needed food. Look, the lepers were from the city. The lepers were from Syria. I mean, they lived outside of the city because of their disease, but their families lived inside the city. Perhaps their parents lived inside the city. Perhaps their brothers and sisters lived inside of the city. Perhaps they had children or grandchildren that lived inside the city. And they desperately needed what the lepers had. They desperately needed the food that they had an abundant supply of. I want to tell you this morning, all around us there are people that are dying in their sins. They're still under the condemnation. They're still under the penalty of sin. And they're dying and they're going to hell. And we have what they need. What they need is Jesus. What they need is the price that he paid on Calvary. He said about himself, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. We need to go and tell, not only because of what we have, but what they need. And like the lepers, some of those people that need that are people that we love. Perhaps they're our parents. Perhaps they're our brothers and our sisters, our nephews and our nieces, our children, our grandchildren. They need what we have. We have the cure. Why wouldn't we share it with somebody that's sick? We have the antidote. Why wouldn't we share it with somebody that's been poisoned? Go and tell. Go and tell. This is a day of good tidings. Go and tell because of what we have, because of what they need, because there is a danger. Number three, because there's a danger if we fail. There's a danger to others because perhaps they'll never get to hear the gospel. But there's also a danger to ourselves. Our text says, if we tarry till the morning light, some mischief will come upon us. They said, we can't wait till the morning. We've got to go tell them now. I mean, here we are, we're putting the gold and our silver in our pockets, and we're going to hide it for another day, and yet in the city that we're from are people that are starving to death. There are people that are dying right now, that starvation is taking their lives, and here we are putting money in our pocket, and we need to go back and we need to tell them. There's good news. There's food available for everybody. Everybody can have food enough to eat. There's an abundant supply, and everybody can live. There's enough food for everybody to live. We need to go. We can't wait. We need to go and tell them now. If we don't, if we even wait till morning, some mischief will come upon us. We need to heed that warning today. We're not just saved to set. We're saved to serve. And if we're not serving, pretty soon, because we're not serving, we'll grow weaker and weaker and colder and more indifferent. Pretty soon, we'll forget that every person has an eternal soul. Pretty soon we'll forget that a soul without Christ goes to hell. Pretty soon, if we don't go and tell, we won't even care. Juanita was talking to me this morning before the service. She and Ray went to a funeral yesterday and said it was a terrible funeral. They played songs that were inappropriate for a funeral, and all the preacher did for the funeral service was read the obituary. She said, "Preacher, there's somebody in that family that I don't know if they've been saved or not. I don't even know if they've heard the gospel. Would have been a wonderful opportunity to hear the gospel yesterday, but the gospel was not preached." She says, "I'm going to go see them this week. I don't know if they'll let me in the door. I don't know if they'll listen as I talk, but I'm going to go see them this week and tell them about Jesus." And I said, "Juanita, I'll pray for you. I pray that God will open the door. Pray that God will give them a listening ear and a listening heart, and you'll get to share the gospel." We weren't saved to just enjoy salvation for ourselves. We were saved, yes, to enjoy it, but also to share it. How sad. We who have the cure won't share it with the sick. How sad, we who have the antidote won't share it with the poisoned. How sad, we who have an abundant supply won't share it with the needy. God told Ezekiel, "When I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked ways to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thy hand." And I thought, I wonder whose blood I have on my hands because I didn't go and tell.
Whose blood am I responsible for? Who might be a person that's headed for hell because I wasn't the witness that I needed to be? Go and tell. Go and tell. We have an abundant supply. They need what we have. There's danger if we don't. Now look, if you're here this morning and you've never asked Jesus to be your Savior, let me tell you, you're a sinner. And there's a penalty for that sin. The wages of sin is death. Jesus died for you. He paid the price for every one of your sins. And if you'll ask him this morning, he'll save you. He'll save you. Just a second, we're going to have an invitation. And when we stand and sing, I'll invite you to come. And if you'll come, I'll have somebody take this book and from this book show you how to ask Jesus to be your Savior. To the Christians that are here this morning, I close with this. Go and tell the joy of Jesus. Tell it out wherever you go. Sing, oh, sing of his redemption. Banish sorrow, pain, and woe. Go and tell the joy of Jesus. Tell of how he bled and died. Souls are waiting to receive him. Jesus Christ, the crucified. Go and tell the joy of Jesus. It will thrill another heart. He is waiting now to enter and the light of life impart. Go and tell the joy of Jesus. Let the whole wide world behold in your life the wondrous vision of a joy and peace untold. Go and tell the joy of Jesus. Let it echo far and wide. All around you, hearts are aching, hearts for whom he bled and died. Go and tell. Go and tell. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for this reminder of the responsibility that we have as Christians to go and tell. There's a world that's starving to death all around us. They need the bread of life. Help us to go and tell. Father, I pray if there's somebody here that doesn't know Jesus as their Savior, they've heard this morning the gospel. Help them right where they sat to say, "Dear Jesus, I'm a sinner. I believe you died to pay for my sin. And right now I'm asking you to save me." Father, help them pray that prayer. And then in a second, help them walk down the aisle and share the decision they've made with us. And Father, if they need help praying that prayer, just help them walk down the aisle and let us take the Bible and show them from the Bible how they can ask Jesus to be their Savior. Holy Spirit, speak to us as Christians. It's our command. It's our commission. It's your will for our life that we go and tell. Help us to do it. Bless this time of invitation. For it's Jesus' name I pray. Amen.